This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, Lord, I thank you for the spirit of liberty being in this place. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do and take the Logos word and transform it into a Rhema word. I step back so you can use me to articulate the things that you want us to hear. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice today will leave not just better, but Father, they will leave with a whole nother level of faith and a whole nother level of understanding so that, Father, they can live out the promises of God in their lives. So I thank you that as we decrease, the Holy Spirit is going to increase to feed every person spiritually in the room and even those who are watching in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for those who are watching online. Last week we had over 5,000 people watching. Yes. So give them a big hand clap. Yes. So we're in our fourth and final week of our relationship series. And so if you're visiting us, we do have some visitors. I have some special visitors here for my pastors. And if you're visiting us and you didn't know it, this service is actually for single people. Okay? Now, you say, well, why is that? Well, all month long, we've separated our church into relationship status. So our 8:30 service was for our married couples, and our 10:30 and our 12:30 service is for singles. However, I'm going to do something today that I don't remember ever doing. This is the first time, to my knowledge, that I'm actually going to do the message that I did for married people. I felt led this morning to do it for this service. And I've never had that. And I wrestled with it, but I was like, forget it. I'm not going to wrestle with it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to cater it to singles. And then I'm going to turn around and do in the third service the message that I actually had for the singles. Because I believe this is what God wants me to do for this particular group. So if you're taking notes and they didn't give you any because they didn't know which message I was going to do, so you'll just have to follow me. But the message title that I'm going to give you all as singles is Developing a Kingdom Marriage Mindset. Developing a Kingdom Marriage Mindset. Because if I were to ask the question, how many of you who are single want to get married one day? Raise your hand. Let me see. Well, that's the majority of the room. Now, if you're here and you are married, this is still going to bless you, I promise you, because I did the message in our first service. I'm just catering it towards singles. So when you and I, when we got saved, the Bible calls that being born again. And when that happened, a spiritual transfer took place. Everybody say a spiritual transfer. A spiritual transfer took place. We actually changed kingdoms. What we don't realize is there is a spiritual kingdom that's out there. One is called darkness and one is called light. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, they're going to put the message on the screen or the verse. He said, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Watch this. Who has delivered us. What has he done? He's delivered us. And has from the power of darkness, and watch what happened, and then he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, the New Living Translation of that verse says, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Watch verse 13. For he, God, has rescued us from the kingdom of what? Is it up there? From the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of who? His dear son. In other words, I want you to notice that there were two kingdoms that were mentioned. The first kingdom was the kingdom of darkness. Now, the King James uses the word power instead of kingdom. And when you look it up, it says he's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The word power there means jurisdiction, but it also means physical and mental influence. In other words, when Jesus died for us and a spiritual transfer happened, when we got transferred from darkness into light, watch this, the devil lost physical and mental influence over us. But then that word also means power. So this word power that I want to read is found in Luke chapter 4, because here's the point that I'm trying to make right up front before I jump into what I'm jumping into. I want us to see that there are two kingdoms that exist. And out of those two kingdoms, God, through Christ Jesus, delivered us from one. And then I'm going to hopefully be able to show you what should happen when we got translated into the kingdom of light. Luke chapter 4 uses this word power that we just read over in Colossians. It says, and the devil, this is when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. And it says, and the devil took him up to a high mountain, and he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How did he do that? He had to do that in his mind. He had to do that through thoughts. So he showed him that. And then the Bible says, and the devil said to him. So if the devil talks to Jesus, he is definitely going to talk to you. So the devil said to him, watch this. All this power, that's that word, all the physical, mental influence, all the power, watch this, that I have, he says, will I give it to you? And even the glory that comes with it, for that is delivered unto me. Now, I want you to hear what the devil was saying to Jesus. He said, Jesus, you know what? This power that I have, I'm willing to give you this power. And he said, the reason I'm able to give it to you is because it was given or delivered to me. He said, well, when did that happen? It happened the moment when Adam disobeyed God. Adam literally handed over the keys to the earth over to the devil. So he says, I will give it to you and the glory of them, for it has been delivered to him, to me, and to whoever I will give it to, I will. Watch verse 7. The condition for you getting this power from the devil is if you will worship me. And this is why we have to be careful about idolizing people who may look famous or be famous or may have money or whatever. And when they get up there and they talking about God or Allah, whatever, they're not talking about the same God we worship. And you have to remember, the devil can make them famous. As long as they worship him, he'll give them what they want. And so the devil has power. Everybody say the devil has power. He has power, but we read over in Colossians that Jesus has delivered us from his power. Now listen to Luke chapter 10, because now this word power is mentioned again. In verse 17, it says, and the 70, listen, Jesus has sent the 70 out to cast out devils and to heal people. So now a report's coming in, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, watch what Jesus says to them, and he's saying to us, behold, I give unto you what? Power. And that word power is not the same power we just read. This word power means authority. So listen to what he says. He's given us authority. He says, I give you authority or power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all, watch this, the power, that's the original word we looked at, and all over all the force, the ability, or the power of the enemy. And he says, the authority that I've given you, nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what I want to do quickly is reread Colossians, and then we're going to jump into what I want to do. Colossians 1, when we read, giving thanks to the Father who's made us to be partakers of the saints in the light. Here's the focus verse. Who has delivered us. Notice it says who has delivered us. So just look at somebody and tell them, you're already delivered. He says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he hath already translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, the word delivered there means to rescue someone or to draw someone close to you. So you and I have been spiritually removed and rescued from the devil. And watch this. And so the darkness now that used to have a hold of you doesn't have a hold on you no more. So here's the question. How can a single person prepare themselves to have a successful marriage while they're single? Because what I've discovered, ask me what I've discovered. I've discovered that married people did not properly prepare themselves to get married when they got married, and that's why a lot of times they don't stay married. So here's our first point for our singles today, because the question is, how can you prepare yourself as a single to have a successful relationship when you get married? Here's the first point of how you do that. You got to know that your spirit is new, but your soul must be renewed. Everybody say, my spirit is new. My soul has to be renewed. You know, the scripture is clear. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So the new part of me is my spirit. The problem is, it's the soul part of us. What is our soul? Our mind, our will, our thoughts, and how we feel. That part of us must be renewed. And most singles, most people don't realize that when it comes to marriage, most people enter into marriage with whatever knowledge and whatever experience and whatever ideologies they had prior to getting married. You say, what do you mean? Ideology means a set of beliefs and values. So before a person gets married, before they get saved, they've already developed some thoughts and ideologies and some patterns and values about marriage. Amen. In other words, as singles, you currently already have some thoughts about what marriage should be and or what marriage, how you want it to be and all of that. It could be conscious or unconscious, but you have your thoughts about that. Some of us have gotten these thoughts from movies. You know, you see this movie and this man and this lady, they get married and then they have three kids and a white picket fence and a nice house and then it says happily ever after. It don't work like that all the time. Amen. So some of us have developed what marriage should be like by the movies we've watched. Some of us have gotten it from mama them. Come on now. And no telling what you saw with mama them. So what I'm trying to get you to see is most people have developed their own value system and thought patterns about what marriage should be even before they made Jesus the Lord of their life. Here's a take-home statement that I want you to take home with you. What you value, you will pattern. So all the information that you have heard about marriage, have thought about marriage, have believed about marriage, watch this, whether they're realistic or unrealistic, it was in your soul before you got saved. It stayed in your soul when you got saved. And here's the problem. Most people don't realize that this dirty filter right here, this is dirty. I mean, it didn't get changed for a long time. Okay? All right. But see, this filter right here represents the condition of a believer's mind when they got saved. See, before Christ, everybody say before Christ. Before Christ, you still had a soul. And that soul, which consists of your mind, your will, your thoughts, and how you feel, the condition of it depended on what happened to you. So a lot of us, this is where poor self-esteem comes in. This is where we have traumas and troubles and all that. Well, this is what an average person's mind looks like before salvation. Watch this. Then they get saved. What most people think is that this, their mind, gets clean when they get saved. It doesn't. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I'll show you in just a second. So your mind was like this before Christ. Your mind stayed like this when you got in Christ. And if a person doesn't prepare themselves for marriage, you're going to go into marriage with this type of mindset. Say amen to that. So when single people, if they don't prepare themselves properly for marriage, whatever was in your thought life of what marriage was like, you will adopt. So this is what a dirty filter's mind look like. You walk into marriage thinking divorce. You say, well, I don't want to be divorced. No, you may not want to be, but mama was divorced and grandma was divorced. And everybody who has influence in your life has told you, girl, don't trust no man. You get married to him, you have your own account, you have some secret stuff going on. Why? Because what they're doing is planting seeds of divorce and you're not even married yet. Some of you all are going into marriage, if you don't straighten yourself out, I'm going to help you, is that you're going into it thinking that cheating is okay. You say, well, I don't think cheating is okay. Well, here's why you got to straighten this out. This is why people stay in relationships that consistently cheat, because they believe cheating is okay. So if you believe that cheating is okay and you get married and somebody cheats, you're going to stay in that mess because cheating was okay because your dirty mind received that. Look at somebody and say, your mind is dirty, I smell it. Shut down. This is how some of you all, when you get married, if you don't clean this up, you will operate in shutdown. Because you know what? What does that mean? You go 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, ain't talking to your husband or your wife, and you say, well, I ain't going to do that. But you saw mama do it, and you saw daddy do it. That's the only pattern you got right now. And you don't know you're going to do it till somebody do something that makes you do it. We got loss, we got pain, we got abuse. And this is why some people be like, well, how can somebody stay in that relationship? Because what they saw was abuse that somebody stayed in. Mama stayed in there. Well, mama stayed. All of this comes from a mind that has not been renewed. Say amen to that. And so, watch this. As singles, you tend to lean toward what you believe in. In other words, you value what you value, you will pattern. So all the information about marriage, whether it was good or bad or whatever, it's in your mind before you got saved, after you got saved. So when people, single people, when they get married, instead of functioning now in a what I'm going to call a kingdom mindset marriage that's built on the truth, they function from the mindset of my truth. You say, well, what's the difference? There's a big difference between the truth and your truth. And anytime, watch this, anytime your personal truth trumps the truth, listen, you will function from convenience instead of conviction. So what do you mean by that? See, if the truth says, forgive when somebody does you wrong, but your truth says, I'm only forgiven if they ask me to forgive them. If they can't recognize what they did wrong, I ain't letting them go. See, that's your truth. And so it's easy now to function from your truth, because the way the flesh works, the flesh is going to go the route of least resistance. So here's the question. What needs to happen for a single person to be in proper position for them to function in the kingdom marriage? I'm so glad that you asked me that. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. He says in verse 1 in the King James, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, touch your neighbor, say he's talking to you, that you need to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now you know what that means now. Okay. See, y'all think that means stop sleeping around, stop fornicating, stop committing adultery, stop. Yeah, that does include that. But what I'm about to tell you, you won't do those things if you would do this thing. Notice he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So think about it. In old school times, when they had to do a sacrifice, that was an animal that got killed. And then they would sacrifice the animal and present it, right, as an offering. Well, what's a living sacrifice? Because if something that's a sacrifice has to die, what's a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is when your bodies are alive, but you're not letting it have its way. Because if you let your body have its way now as a single person, you will let your bodies have its way as a married person. Amen. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, for you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and what the perfect will of God is. So the first thing I want you to notice is the order of those two verses. Notice now, verse 1 says, something or somebody needs to die. Notice that death by way of sacrifice. Let me show you how the kingdom works. Nothing in the kingdom can grow unless something dies. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we could not have salvation had not Jesus died, right? Well, listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 12. Here's a take-home statement you can write down if you're taking notes. Before fruit can be displayed, death has to first take place. John 12, 24 says, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and what? And dies. It abides alone. But if that corn of wheat, if that person dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. And then he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life shall keep it. I'm going to read it in the easy-to-read version. Listen to what it says. It is a fact that a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die before it can what? Before it can grow. Something has to die before something can grow. And then it says, and it shall produce more wheat. If it never dies, it will never be more than a single seed. And whoever loves the life they have now will lose it. But whoever is willing to give up their life will keep it. So what's my point? If you're going to have a kingdom marriage as a single person, you're going to have to die. And here's what happens. This is why a lot of people, their minds, because this is what this represents, their minds never change from when they, before they got saved, and when they first, and then when they do get saved, what they try to do, he says, produce fruit. So what are the fruits of marriage? Well, the fruit of marriage is agape love. It's servanthood, right? It's agreement. The problem is when married people get married, they try to put this fruit on flesh that haven't died. See, until you die, whatever you put in your mind is going to rot. See, many of you are trying to put fruit service on top of flesh when he says no. Verse 1 said, you got to die. And then verse 2 said, then you can renew your mind. So watch this. Here's a question. Because this is what that filter ought to look like. It ought to look like this. That's right. It should be clean like that. So here's the question. How do we move from a dirty filter, which represents our mind, how do we move from that as singles to get prepared for marriage? I'm glad you asked me, which is point number 2. And that is we will stay conformed if we will remain uninformed. I'm going to say it again. We will stay conformed if we remain uninformed. Well, what do you mean by that? Verse 2 says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Notice now, a transformed life comes from a transformed mind. And that word renew means to completely change for the better. It means to renovate. So if my mind needs to be transformed, why does it need to be transformed? Because this is the way my mind starts right here. So how do I get it clean? How do I get it here? Now, what you may not have known is this filter was actually in my house. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a shame. I know you was thinking it. But see, here's the problem. We have three units in our house, and this is actually the right size filter for the different units in our house. One time I asked the guy that was up there working on the AC unit, I asked him to change out the filter. But instead of putting this size filter in mine, he put this size filter in there. And this is what, listen, this is what your mind looked like before you got saved. And so what we try to do is put good works on top of a mind that ain't died yet when it doesn't have the capacity to hold the dirt. See, this doesn't have the capacity to hold the dirt that this has. And here's the problem. If you have this, if this is your mind, if this is your filter right here, your air conditioned system is going to work harder because it's trying to push air through something that's dirty. Listen, that's what happens when a person who's trying to live right, I'm talking to somebody right now, you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right. The problem is you have not died as a living sacrifice. And so you're trying to put good works on somebody who ain't died yet. Say amen to that. So if my mind needs to be transformed because it didn't come this way, how do I do that? Well, let's go over now to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me just show you something. Because the only thing that can clean the filter of your mind is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I need to hurry up. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, most people, they read that and they stop right there. Well, what does it mean for a husband to love his wife? What should a man do? It tells us in the next verse. He says, Jesus did it. He said that he may sanctify and cleanse his wife or the church by the washing of the water by the what? By the word, so he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So when you look up the word, when he says he washed the bride by the water of his word, the word washing there means to take a bath. And this is the problem. Most people's mind and thinking is not bathed regularly. Now let me ask you a question. What happens if you don't take a bath regularly? You're going to stink. Well, if you don't let your mind get washed with the word on a regular basis, you know what's going to happen? Your thinking is going to be stinking. So just look at your neighbor and say, I smell your mind right now. I smell it. Your mind must take a bath every day in order for the transformation process to take place. Your mind can't function with the old way and with the old information. Y'all remember floppy disk? Anybody in here remember floppy disk? Y'all know what a floppy disk is? How many remember reel to reel? You know, you got to take, right. Well, some of y'all are like, what's a floppy disk? Ask one of those old people that raised their hand. They'll tell you. See, your mind has to be upgraded to the cloud version now. See, in these days and times, I don't save my information on my computer no more. I save it to the cloud because the cloud has more storage space. And see, some of us, because we haven't renewed our mind, we're trying to put information on a dirty floppy disk. And God is saying, no, that's not how I want you to do it. So here's the question. How does a person change from this over to this? Because, see, this right here is going to let your air condition work right. Watch this. This filter is going to help you discern who's good and who ain't. See, the reason why You didn't see what you saw about that man is because your filter is so dirty. I can't even see what race he is. So let's look now and see what 2 Peter tells us. It says, watch this now, because let me show you how to go from dirty to clean. Watch what he says. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always, watch this, in remembrance. In what, church? In remembrance. In remembrance of what? Of the remembrance of these things. Watch this. And he says, you already know them. And he says, I'm doing that so you can be established in present truth. He said, listen, I need to keep reminding you of what the word says so your mind can get washed with it. Because if you don't wash your mind with the word on a regular basis, you won't stay in present truth. You will function from a floppy disk. He said that you may be remembered and be established in present truth. Watch this. He repeats it again in verse 13. Yes, I think it is proper, as long, Paul says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, that I need to stir you up, watch this, by putting you in what, church? In remembrance. So watch this now. You can't remember what you never remembered. You cannot remember something you've never remembered. And here's the problem. If you've never died, when I say die, well, you say, what do you mean by die? I'm talking about dying to your will, dying to your way. Jesus had to do it. If Jesus struggled with dying to his will, you and I are going to struggle to die to our will. You say, well, I didn't know Jesus struggled. That's why he went to the garden and prayed 3 times. He said, Lord, let this cup be passing from me. I don't want to do this. He said, nevertheless, not my what? Not my will, but thy will. So I'm talking about where you die and say, okay, God, my life belongs to you. I am not going to do things not my way. See, when you start doing it your way, that's why you get your results. That's why you're picking the same man. Call Tyrone. Call him. Why? He said, I need to remind you of truth. See, staying clean right here. He says, I'm going to wash you with the word. So once I'm washed with the word, then I prepare myself for a kingdom marriage, because now I understand what fruitfulness is about, because as a single person, I served and produced fruit. I'm going to understand what mutual respect is all about, because I've learned to respect Jesus while I was dating him. Amen. Selfishness, no. I've learned to give. And what, here's the thing. Let me show you what happens. This right here is First Lady's favorite drink, Dr. Pepper. And I hate that I'm wasting one, but I made sure it was hot. So baby, this ain't been in the fridge, all right? Okay, so this glass of Dr. Pepper represents that dirty filter. This is the condition of your mind before you got saved. This is the condition of your mind when you get saved. And it don't have to stay the condition of your mind once you're saved. But this is how your mind look, right? And so all of the concepts of marriage, all that stuff that you thought about marriage, probably a lot of it wasn't right anyway. This is what you are. So he's saying, I got to put you in remembrance of the word. Now, how did Jesus wash his bride? With the what? With the washing of the water of the word, which means that if I'm going to have a clean filter, a clean mind, I have to, watch this, wash my mind consistently. Here's the problem. You have single people who want a kingdom marriage, but they only wash their mind when they come to church on Sunday. Please take more than one bath before you come back next week. And see, a lot of people don't know that their thinking is stinking. But watch this, though. The results show up by how you pick, by what you say. So watch this. So now, since you're single and you're getting yourself prepared, you have to put in the promises of God and you got to hear them consistently. You have to take your mind a bath because social media and the world is going to say there are no good men out there. And the Bible said, no, the scripture says, when I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of what I want and need will be added to me. Then your mind, the world will tell you, oh, no, ain't no good men. Girl, you've been married 5 times. Ain't no man gonna want you with 5 times. And you say, oh, wait a minute. No, no, the plans that God has for me, they're good and not evil. Plans to give me an expected end. See, what you're doing is you're putting in the water of God's word into your mind. And if you put enough word in your mind, guess what's going to happen? Over time, your mind will get renewed with the word. And the next thing you know, what used to be dirty is now clean. And all I got to do is keep pouring. And here's the problem. Somebody go give me another Dr. Pepper really quick. Don't get a Coke because that's what I drink. Don't get that. So now, you get under the word and you wash your mind. And so now, you're not thinking like the average single person thinks. You're not thinking. See, the scripture says, when as a single person, if you seek first the kingdom, what God's going to do? He's going to add it. But see what happens. So now, watch this. This is what your life looks like now. But see, yeah, you can clap on that. Go ahead and clap on that. Go ahead and clap on that. But let me tell you what happens. The Bible says bad company corrupts good manners. So you done spent all this time getting your mind together, getting your thought life together. No, it is not the will of God for me to sleep with you before we can determine if you for me. See, that's that old way of thinking. See, the old way of thinking is say you got to try before you buy it. Give me the milk before I buy the cow. No, no, no. See, that's that old. But see, what happens is you start hanging around these desperate household wives. You start hanging back around these single women who trying to tell you how to get a man, but they ain't learned how to keep one themselves. You hanging around with homeboys who are hoes, excuse me. Okay, let me use a scripture, whoremonger. That's scriptural. You done took all that time to get your mind straight. And you done let compromise get your mind back dirty. Because that's what compromise does to you right there. All it takes is one. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how trauma works. Trauma only needs one trigger to take you all the way back to what happened. So, how do single people apply this message? Because the next service, I ain't talking about none of this. I'm gonna talk about what I had planned originally, but I felt the Lord wanted me. Because see, some of y'all want to get married, but I'm telling you now, you can't get married like this. Whatever your thoughts are, I know you. It's gonna be wonderful, Pastor. I love the Lord and. And he loves me. You so spiritual. But you can't even manage your trauma. So this is a head start for y'all. Because I'm saying get the water of the word in your mind. So when you walk into a relationship, it might not be this clean, but it stays consistently clean. You know, First Lady and I, we keep a pretty clean house, and we have some areas that we don't always sit in, but even those areas will get dusty if we don't clean them. And there are some people in the room today, you want to get married, but your mind is not... And this is how you can know if your mind is not where. In fact, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me tell you some of the thoughts that single people fight. You hear a message and you be like, okay, I need to wait on the Lord. Lord, I'm tired of waiting. Here's the problem. You don't have enough of the word inside of your mind, because the Bible tells me they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They don't get tired. It said they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. You don't have enough word in your mind. So when thoughts like that come, and so there are some people here today, your first step is making Jesus the Lord of your life. You have not died. Well, you cannot be born again until you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. The scripture says, for God so loved you.